Today on Lasting Hope, Pastor Greg Spires.
Nobody can out-sin the cross of Christ. Nobody can out-die the resurrection of Christ. In Christ, you are righteous. You can set aside that shame. You can set aside that guilt by faith. You're as righteous as Christ when we trust Him. You're just made righteous in Jesus.
Welcome to Lasting Hope with Bible teacher Greg Spires, pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, is a welcomed promise of Psalm 32. But not only that, today Pastor Greg describes how happiness, peace, and contentment come at no cost to the one who found forgiveness through the unearned free gift of God's grace. Continuing our series in Paul's letter to the Romans, we'll learn how our righteousness before God is a free gift applied to us, not earned by us.
The title of the message today is The Search for Peace. The Search for Peace. So let's begin in Romans chapter 4. And what the Bible wants to tell us, against our own personal bent, there is great blessing, that is joy, peace, rest, contentedness. There's great blessing in being forgiven by God that is unearned, receiving the forgiveness of God without it being earned. Look down at verse 7, just real quick to show you where we're getting this. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. This is where we're going with this. He's saying there is blessing that comes when your lawless deeds are forgiven. And so this is the point he's making. There is great joy in being freely forgiven. Okay, let's start in verse 1 and 2. If Abraham was justified by his works, he had something to boast about. Was Abraham justified by his works? No. The Bible says he was justified because he believed God. He was made right because he believed God. He received righteousness because of his faith. Look at the end of verse 3. What does the scripture say? Genesis 15:6, if you want to keep score at home. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. God made a promise to Abraham. You will inherit the land you are walking on. You and your wife are going to have a whole bunch of kids. And you will be a blessing to the entire world. And Abraham believed him. Okay, I buy that. I believe you. I trust you, God, that you are both able to provide these things you are promising and you want to provide these things you are promising. And because he believed God, God credited to him, affirmed that Abraham was righteous. And here's the argument that he is making. You say, listen, he was righteous only because he believed, not because he followed rituals or he was religious or he was a good guy. Things Abraham hadn't done yet. Abraham hadn't had any kids. Abraham hadn't argued that God should redeem Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham had not yet offered Isaac on the sacrifice. Abraham, as we're going to discover in the second part, had not yet been circumcised, and God counted to him righteousness. Other things Abraham hadn't done yet. Hadn't offered his wife to another man. Twice. Okay, if you're picking teams for God, are you picking Abraham knowing that just down the road he's going to offer his wife to another man, what would you say? Good religious guy? I don't think so. This guy's a train wreck. And yet God credited to him what? Righteousness. Did God know all the bad things Abraham was going to do? As it turns out, God knows everything. So Abraham received righteousness not because he was good, not because he eventually would be good, and promised not to do any of the bad things anymore. He was righteous. Why? He believed God. I trust you, God. And therefore, he received by faith as a gift that is unearned righteousness. He was trusting the Lord to forgive him because he wanted the Lord. He wanted God's forgiveness because he wanted relationship with God himself, knowing that he would spend forever with God. So his faith was, I trust God beyond just today or this week or this year or even my life. I trust God. He's going to culminate everything into him, and I want to be wherever he is. And this is what Abraham's faith was. Not just merely what is going on today, but what is going on forever. Look at Ephesians 2:8-9. What does it mean to have faith in God? Here's what it says. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. We are saved by God's grace. That is, God extending to us his favor, even though we don't deserve it. Another place in Scripture it says, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ died for us not because we were turning to him. Christ died for us when we were turning away from him. So it by his grace, he extends to us his kindness of forgiveness. And the question is, do we trust him? Would God really forgive people like us? Would God really offer free forgiveness to you and to me, knowing full well what we have done before and knowing full well what we're going to do next week? Would God forgive us? And what's the answer according to the Scripture? Is yes, he would. The question is, do we trust him? Do we depend on him to save us? Do we recognize the frailty of our own righteousness? Do we recognize we cannot do anything that would lead us to boast before the Lord? Is anybody here, did anybody do any good deeds this week? We do good things. We do good things. The question is not whether or not we have the ability to do something good. The question is, do we have the ability to do something good that would make us righteous before God? If you're able to do something good enough, or enough something's good enough to make you righteous before God, it just simply means you are God. And nobody's buying it, by the way. You're not. Because God is perfectly and completely righteous. In order to stand before God in our own sense of righteousness, we would need God's righteousness, and we have to recognize we aren't able to be that good. And so in that frailty, we just simply come before the Lord and say, God, I come before you not because I am good, but because Jesus was good for me, and he paid the penalty for my sin on the cross, and I have hope of life forever because he is raised from the dead. And it's simply, do we believe what God says about the reality of the situation? Our frailty, our brokenness, as well as his holiness. The way we receive righteousness is by faith alone. And that's how Abraham received his righteousness. Okay, look at verses 7, 8, and 9 of Romans 4. Here's what it says. This is David speaking. Psalm 32, if you want to look it up and read the whole psalm. Just as David speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and those whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. David here is saying in this psalm, and this is a psalm of confession, he is saying, listen, the person who has experienced the forgiveness of God experiences God's peace, his blessing. Look at verse 7. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven. What's a lawless deed? Lawless deed is this. Here's a rule. Don't do this. And then we say what? Well, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that. Since you've got a rule, now that sounds like fun. I wouldn't have even occurred to me to do that. But since you've got this fantastic rule, now that's all I want to do. And so therefore, what do? As good Christians, we do it with nobody knowing. I mean, we just break the rule. Blessed are those who are strong enough not to do lawless things. Is that what it says? Blessed are those who do lawless things but keep them hidden. No. Blessed are those who do lawless things but not to the degree that other people do lawless things. No. What's it say? Blessed are those who do lawless things and they just get forgiven. Just forgiven. It's covered. It's okay. There's no cost. You are made righteous. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. That is a blessing to be a man or a woman who has sinned. And the Lord says this, don't worry about it. And what we do is say, no. There's a catch. I've got to earn it. I've got to feel bad about it, maybe. I've got to, let's start there. Do you feel like for God to forgive you, you got to feel bad about it? I know a lot of people, listen, God's not going to forgive me if I don't have kind of a vibe of feel bad. Okay? Why would God forgive me if let me put it this way. Let's say you have sinned. Not you guys. Let's say they sinned and they feel bad about it. How about this, though? Do they feel bad enough? You ever thought about that? Let's say you feel like you did something bad and you actually do kind of feel bad about it. Do you feel bad enough? Of course you don't. You feel bad enough that you think somebody should die for that sin? No, then you don't feel bad enough, because God said somebody needs to die. Jesus died. Blessed. What does that mean? Skipping around the room feeling pretty good are the man whose sins are forgiven. That's what it says. It's blessed are those whose sin, lawless deeds are forgiven. The pursuit of peace and joy in our hearts is when we finally believe God that he is that good and that generous and that kind. He just says, no, Jesus paid for it. You're good. You're squared away. Well, Lord, I think I need to mope some more. What are you talking about? Depending on God alone for our righteousness, we don't get to earn any of it. We don't get to earn any of it. Let's keep that going. Search for peace. Forgiveness is for everyone. Let's read verses 9 through 12. Here's what it says. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but it was before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believe without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not circumcised merely, but who walk in the footsteps of Abraham, walk on the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. The search for peace, forgiveness is for everyone. Abraham received righteousness by faith before he was circumcised, is the argument Paul is making. So for the Jew, a Jewish man needed to be circumcised. Paul was saying a Jew may be circumcised, but he is not righteous by that. He's also saying for the Gentile who is not circumcised, you are not righteous by becoming a Jew who is circumcised. Abraham is the father of those who would be made righteous by faith. The uncircumcised Gentiles made righteous by faith, and the Jewish man who is circumcised is made righteous by what? Faith. Because both count Abraham as their father of faith, which is by righteousness alone. And so in the search for peace, forgiveness is for everyone. God's forgiveness is by its very nature non-exclusive, available for all who would believe, available for any who would believe. Was Abraham pious? No. Was Abraham religious? No. But Abraham wasn't even circumcised the way a good Jewish man were circumcised when he was righteous by faith. Then how could God possibly make Abraham righteous if he wasn't pious and he wasn't religious and he wasn't even, in many ways, Jewish? The answer is God is that generous that he would offer righteousness to all who would believe. Righteousness is by gift. It's not by ritual. It's not by dedication. Righteousness is, do I trust in the Lord? And the Jews at the time of Paul's day were making the argument, sure, you do have to believe God, but really to seal the deal, you got to be circumcised and you got to be Jewish and you got to go to the temple. And Paul is saying, that's not what Abraham did. There was no temple. And when he was made righteous, there was no circumcision. His righteousness is by faith only. And the search for peace is for anyone who would believe. We tend to make this error that there are only certain people who can really believe. We tend to have that in our mind that there are certain kinds of people that will have a relationship with the Lord. We create in our minds artificial lines in the sand that God will only forgive certain things. That when you believe in God, you look and act a certain way. The Jews of Paul's days would make this argument, sure, believe in Jesus, trust him to forgive you for your sins, but anybody who really loves Jesus at the end of the day is going to look Jewish. And we tend to do that even in our own minds. We say, yes, faith is for everyone, but if you believe in Jesus, certainly you're going to act the way I do, and certainly you're going to do things the way I do. And the Bible is saying here, Abraham is the father of those who would believe, not those who would act a particular way. All people who have faith in Christ have access to God. There are no cool kids in the church. Now, non-believers know that instinctively. They've been to church. Yeah, there's no cool people. But we're hanging around, maybe you're hanging around with church people. You say, yeah, of course there's no cool people, but there's cool-ish people in the church. And the Bible is saying absolutely not. There's no hierarchy of awesomeness in the body of Christ. There is no super awesome Christian and not so awesome Christian. There is as righteous in Christ by faith and not yet made righteous by Christ in faith. There isn't any kind of mentality that you got to work your way up the Christian food chain. We do this in a lot of ways. We assume that people who tend to have maybe a greater intellectual capacity or greater discipline to read or greater ability to understand complex ideas, and so they can really chew through difficult things in their faith. Well, they're at a better, higher sphere religiously than me, because I don't like to read books with big words, and I like books with pictures. And so therefore, since I don't read that much, and since I don't know that much, and therefore I must be junior level Christian. Some of you feel that way. So, well, since I don't know as much as that guy, or I don't know as many verses memorized as that person, I'm Christian second class. Does the Bible leave any room for that kind of mentality in the body of Christ? Absolutely not. And some of us, in terms of our sin patterns, we sin in really Christian ways. We just get sort of annoyed at traffic. We would never roll down our window and extend a sign, "You're number one," to a fellow driver. I did it this week. I didn't flip him off. But he passed me in the median. You know, there's two lanes and then a turning lane. And he's like, and he's some teenage driver. And I thought, you know what would really help him understand the safer way to drive? Is if I try to match his speed. Like, and he's in a hurry. And I'm just, and then I get to the point like, I'm an idiot. Anybody, okay, I'm an idiot. I got my two boys in the back. What am I teaching them? All the right stuff is what I'm teaching them. No, I'm kidding. That's terrible. I didn't lose my temper much. And so we said, well, that's a real Christian way to sin. But how about drinking so much we black out on Friday night? Christians don't do that, do they? I mean, Christians would never get so upset that they blow up at their boss and drop every F-bomb in the book. A Christian would never walk out on his family and go stay in the hotel because he's so mad at him. Christians, there are certain lines in the sand we say, well, there must be something wrong with him because he would do that. What? Where did we create this? Well, this is because we've created in our minds, oh, sure, you get righteousness from God by faith, but if you want me to recognize your righteousness, you're going to need to toe the line, and there's a certain standard we expect you to behave like. Since none of us can pull it off, what we do is we just don't tell anybody the way we sins. Because we know if we tell people what's actually going on in our life, they will judge us as not righteous, and we don't want to do that. And the Bible says Abraham is the father of those who struggle with sin and need God's righteousness. He is the spiritual father of those who believe and say, I can only be made righteous by Christ alone. And there's no second-class members of the family of God. We need to make sure in our own heart and minds we don't judge ourselves as second-class members, and we better make real sure we aren't putting onto others the stamp of second-class member of the family of God. Because when we stand before the Lord, we're going to realize how our Father sees them, and it may be very different than us. All right, let's keep going. Look at verse 12. God made Abraham the father of the circumcised who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. So here's the application I want to make from this. Is faith from Christ for our righteousness, but it's directional. It has a trajectory. So if I'm trusting Christ for my righteousness, my faith is taking me toward Christ. Does that make sense? So it's a misunderstanding in the book of Romans to say he saves us so we can do whatever we want. He saves us for Christ, and that means the pattern of our life, we're going to see in Romans 12, as an act of worship, is toward Christ. That's why I use the word walk. Okay, go back to Ephesians 2, 8, 9. We'll just look at verse 10. You know this verse, but it's worth reviewing. For by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not of your own doing. It's the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So we are saved by faith and made righteous, but that righteousness takes us toward Jesus. So it's a walk of righteousness towards Christ in his righteousness. So we see that in Abraham's life if you read Genesis. It's a walk of righteousness. Now, it's some days are better than others, Some days are real good, some days are real bad, but it's a walk of righteousness. It says, I'm not earning my righteousness, but having been made righteous, I want my life to be leading towards the Lord. So faith takes me towards him in a walk of righteousness. Last verse, Ephesians 4:1. Paul says this, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with humility and gentleness and patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So he's saying here, where's our righteousness from? Christ. But having been made righteous, let's walk in a manner that recognizes he is our righteousness. That's a life of worship, of saying, I want today to be set aside for the Lord. When I struggle with sin, I'm going to repent. If he calls me to do something good, I'm going to, by the power of the Spirit, seek to be obedient. But faith in Christ gives us righteousness, but moves us towards him. Does that kind of make sense? Okay, good. Thanks. A couple of quick things, and we're going to close with this. God only gives his righteousness freely. He cannot be obligated. He cannot be leveraged. He cannot be made to do what you want. Maybe you've had this happen in your life. You do something really, really, really good. I mean, really good. I don't know what it is. Whatever in your mind, you do something really good. Like, oh man, it cost you a lot and it was selfless. Nobody knows about it. You dotted all the I's, crossed all the T's, checked all the boxes. This is a spiritual act of worship. And God had the gall to let bad things happen to you that week. And has this ever happened to you? You hit it out the park with a good deed, and Friday you get fired. Or you get home and you have a fight with your wife or your kid or your husband. Or the dog runs away. Or all of a sudden your life is a country song. But God, I did something good. Since I did something good, you are therefore obligated, right? No. No, God cannot be obligated. God only gives freely. And the greatest gift he gives us is his free gift of righteousness. So I might ask us as Christians is this. How are you trying to impress God with your life? How are you trying? Are you trying to impress him with your prayers? Are you trying to impress him with your Bible reading? Or are you trying to impress him with the kind of people you hang around with? Are you trying to impress God? I got bad news. He's not impressed. He's only impressed with Jesus. So if I want to impress God today, what I'm going to do is I'm going to wake up again today. Lord, I'm not impressive. I need Jesus again today. Is God impressed with his son? Yes. And by faith, that righteousness is credited to us, and God is impressed with Jesus in us. And that's a free gift, not because we deserve it.
Pastor Greg Spires has been making the important distinction between God's grace and our works as it applies to righteousness before the Father through the Son. And Pastor Greg will be back with some closing thoughts in just a moment here on Lasting Hope. By the way, this and many of Pastor Greg's messages are also available for listening online at lastinghope.org. That's lastinghope.org. Greg Spires is a lead pastor of FBC in Medford, Oregon. And not only does he give a message from God's Word each week, he also writes a Lasting Hope newsletter sharing stories of hope and offering biblical wisdom that will encourage you in these challenging days. You can sign up to receive Greg's Lasting Hope newsletter when you go to lastinghope.org. And if you're in the Southern Oregon area and don't have a church home of your own, Pastor Greg would like to invite you to attend our in-person church services at FBC in Medford. You can join us for worship and a message from Pastor Greg at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday, and we'd love to meet you in person. Just go to lastinghope.org for information and driving directions. Again, that's lastinghope.org. And now to wrap up our Romans series on the search for peace, once again, here's Pastor Greg Spires.
There might be one or two of us have done not just good things, but we've hit some home runs in the sin department. Maybe ever you've got a couple of things on your rap sheet that they're doozies. And for some of us, unfortunately or fortunately, I don't know how to even say it, so I don't want to offend you too bad. For some of us, those things weren't even before we met the Lord. They were after. You know, it's nice, I guess, we can do all the real big ones before we meet the Lord, then we can have a really cool testimony story. But for some of us, those real home runs were actually after we became a Christian. The only thing I'm wondering is, did you maybe somewhere along the line become convinced you messed up so bad, this whole free gift of righteousness deal just doesn't apply to you. That you've got to carry that shame and guilt. That you've got to atone for it. You've got to make up for it. You've got to pay God back for it. I'm just reading my Bible, and I'm just telling you the truth. You don't have to. You're just made righteous in Jesus. You're as righteous as Christ when we trust him. Nobody can out-sin the cross of Christ. Nobody can out-die the resurrection of Christ. In Christ, you are righteous. You can set aside that shame. You can set aside that guilt by faith. And that's what peace feels like. And that's what blessing feels like. That's what everybody in our country is searching for through money and through influence and through all this other stuff. It only comes through free forgiveness in Jesus Christ.
Well, that's all the time we have for today, but please join us next time as we continue our look in the book of Romans. That's next time on Lasting Hope with Pastor Greg Spires. Lasting Hope is the radio ministry of FBC in Medford, Oregon.